How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
How to conquer temptation. And of course, as you all know, we have done it in three phases. First of all, how to conquer temptation. What should you do before temptation occurs? That was our subject last week. And we really covered a bunch, didn't we? How to prepare for temptation, because it will come. And then this week, what do you do during temptation? And, of course, when I get back here from brief vacation, and there's no Wednesday night service next week because of July the 4th. Pastor Corley will be taking services Sunday, so you can look forward to that. But the following Wednesday, we'll cover what do you do after temptation. And that's going to be extremely important as well. But tonight our subject is how to conduct yourself during temptation. Just before we do that, I want you to jot down a couple of notes here on some final preparations that everyone needs to make before temptation occurs. Here's the scripture. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Watch and pray. Watching and praying have a lot to do with how you cope with temptation. Watch and pray. For, look at the rest of this now, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And there's three things you should learn from the Scripture. You need to stay alert. That's what the word watch is. And by the way, when it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, that is not watch and pray so that you won't be tempted. That is watch and pray so that when temptation comes, you don't fall for it. You don't enter into it. That, you understand? That's the essence of this scripture. Watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation when it occurs. So the watch is, remember from last week, we learned how the prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself from it. So see it coming before it gets there. Stay alert. Alertness, a great character quality, the awareness of what is taking place around me in order to make a decision about a right response. Watch and pray, and then pray. Stay in contact with God. That's pretty good advice. If you are alert, and if you stay in contact with God, you will not enter in, fall for, engage yourself, be trapped by, overcome by the temptation. Pray. And then there's a third element in the scripture. You want to keep your spirit in charge of your flesh. Notice this. The spirit is willing to overcome the temptation. But guess what? We all deal with this flesh thing. The flesh has no strength. It is weak. You can never conquer on the basis of how your flesh feels about something. It is the spirit that is willing. The flesh is weak. So you watch and pray so you don't fall into the temptation and fail at it. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, if we will learn to follow the spirit, our spirits, instead of our feelings, which come from primarily our flesh, you will conquer every time. These are just some final preparations for temptation. But what do we do now during the temptation? What should we do during the temptation? So we're going to go to the scriptures, and I want you to learn a few things straight from the Bible. First of all, You want to realize that times of temptation are normal. You are not odd if you experience temptation. You are not weird. You are not centered out. You are not picked out. You are not isolated. You are not the only target. Now, let's learn this from the Bible so we know that this statement is true. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to everybody, to all men, to all women. Everybody faces temptation. Don't think there's something spiritually wrong with you because you face temptation. Some people get guilt, not because they yield to temptation particularly, they might get that too, but they feel guilty simply because they're tempted. That should not occur. The enemy wants you to feel guilty just for being tempted. But temptation is common. It's normal. Most people know this verse. So I'm going to give you a couple more. I want you to see the testimony of the Apostle Paul, writer of 14 books of the New Testament. Here's what he said. I serve the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. Now look at this. Many tears and many temptations. Now this is the Apostle Paul. This is common. Spiritual leaders always face temptation. Everybody faces temptation. You are not weird because you face temptation. It's common to all of us. And here's the Apostle Paul saying, how much temptation. Now, I'm going to take you to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and show you another verse. Now, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, if you know it, your Bible's very well, it's what's been called God's Hall of Fame. It starts off with, without faith it's impossible to please God. Him that cometh to God must first believe that God is, and so on. And then, as it talks about faith, it starts to list all the characters of the Bible who overcome and conquered by faith. And then, it describes the New Testament conquerors. Now listen to this. Here's what it says. Who through faith, are you ready? They subdued kingdoms, wrought or brought about righteousness. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire when they were tried to burn them at the stake. Out of weakness were made strong. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And then it goes on to say, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. I left out a little part because now I want you to see it. But I want you to see this in context. God here is talking about the greatest, most famous, most conquering of all the saints in the Bible. Now watch this. They were stoned. They had stones thrown at them to death. Look at this. They were sawn asunder. They were cut in half with saws. Can you believe that? Even these great heroes were tempted. They were slain with a sword. And they wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute. Watch this now. This is an interesting phrase. Of whom the world was not worthy of these holy people. But these people were tempted. So my first thing I want you to get is that realize that times of temptation are normal. Okay? Secondly, you want to realize that temptation may last a while. It very seldom only lasts 5 minutes. Don't you wish it only lasted 5 minutes? In other words, whatever process you're going to use to prepare for and survive during temptation, you better prepare for a longer than a 5 minute temptation. Now here's the story of Jesus. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost and returned from Jordan where he was baptized. And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted, being 40 days tempted. Most people, when they think of the temptation of Jesus, think of the only three temptations at the end of the 40 days. It was 40 days of temptation. Now, I don't know about you, but I have had temptations the last 40 days. Let me confess, I don't know what the right word is here. But in my own experience in dealing with temptation and sin and the devil and God and all those things, I seem to have seasons. I can go several months without temptation. And all of a sudden, I start getting tempted. And I'd like that thing to go away, but it doesn't go away. Sometimes it lasts a month. Sometimes several weeks. And what I want you to realize is that temptation is normal, and it may last a while. Got it? Now, number three. This is the same verse in front of you. You need to be walking in the Spirit. Now, this, notice the capital S on Spirit, walking in, walking with, walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at this text again. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, look at this. And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I cannot tell you how important it is to be living in tune with the Holy Spirit. Living in a place with the Holy Spirit where He is free to lead you, guide you, direct you, where the Holy Spirit is free to warn you of upcoming pending conditions, where the Holy Spirit is free to give you information that you couldn't get some other way, living in such a relationship with the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is able to give you wisdom beyond your years and beyond your experience. This is what we mean. So this has this relationship with God. When you go into temptation in the middle of the temptation, the best way to be there is under the influence of the Spirit. You follow that? Now, let me put a little diagram in here. So, by the way, walking in the Spirit is not something, you just don't jump into it just before temptation gets there or after temptation starts. This is a way of life for us, beloved. This is a way of life for us. This is a way of life for us. Most people get their signals of what to do in life from their surroundings, from circumstances, from bad advice, from the advice of ungodly people, or from an educational process, or common concepts held by the people. But we march to the tune of a different drummer. But we are under the influence of someone whose advice is flawless. Someone who, are you ready? Knows everything. Like there's no detail he doesn't know. And if you and I are open to receive it, there's nothing he won't share with you that you need. Isn't that what the Scripture says? And most people think this is talking about heaven. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither is entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, and God hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit. Why, this is so delightful that we live in such a relationship with this blessed Paracletus of the Paraclete, this third person of the Trinity, this Holy Spirit of God, very God, occupying our environment, available to us at moment's notice, zealous to lead and guide us in the proper way. This is the way of life. Walk in the Spirit. And then while you're walking in the Spirit, this little thing happens here. And this little thing, and I put on the timeline here, is, in fact, temptation. And so what you want to do during temptation is you want to be walking in the Spirit. You know, Samson, greatly moved upon by the Spirit, he had great strength because of the Holy Spirit, blew it with a woman, lost, didn't know he'd lost it. Did you know that? Didn't know he lost it. When they cut his hair, just like he had done the other times, he stirred himself and conquered the enemy. But when he gave away his Nazarene vow, and they told Delilah about the cutting of the hair thing, he stood up, shook himself, and went to do business and conquer the enemy. And this is what the scripture says. He wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He didn't know. It didn't feel any different. Except that now he didn't have the power. Now, beloved, the Holy Spirit, and I can hardly wait when we get our theology series to get to pneumatology, which is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of benefits to the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what one of them is. It's power. It's power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power. Now, when you're walking in temptation, the best way to walk in there is in the power of the Spirit. So have no doubts about it that during temptation it's best to be walking in the Spirit. Here's why. Look at this scripture. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now look what will happen if you're walking in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that ever wonderful? The power of the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, gives you power over the natural tendency of your flesh to give in to temptation. Oh, this is not the end of it. Look at the next verse. Because, look at this now, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Look at this verse. And the Spirit against the flesh. Now watch this. And these, the Spirit and the flesh, are contrary one to another. So that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, you would like to conquer this temptation. But if the flesh is winning and the Spirit is not, your chances are slim to none. So walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, these two are the opposite to one another. This I say then, and now watch this. But if you be led, I like this, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. This law is the law of your flesh that makes you do what you don't want to do. Number four. During temptation, you don't want to get rattled by it. You don't want to get nervous and upset. You want to face temptation with confidence. Now, how and what shall be the source of your confidence? I ask you to look at this verse with me. And if this doesn't do it, I don't know what will. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Is that ever good news? Look at this. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Stop sweating it. Don't get nervous. Don't get scared when temptation shows up. Because your God knows how to deliver you out of it. My. Now, a couple little pointers here. Your source of strength is from above. Don't ever forget that. Our flesh, we and ourselves, we're going to lose. But greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world. Listen to this, beloved. Unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is around us. The person who thinks they can conquer temptation without the power of the Spirit is fixing to fall. Let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That's a thing called pride. I can do it by myself. I don't need anybody else. I don't need help from God. And that's why the scripture says that pride cometh before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. Our source is God. Now, your confidence is not a self-confidence as much as it is a God-confidence. For the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So, you don't have to be afraid. You can have confidence. Now, this might shock you, but the scriptures that you're going to see in a moment are very clear that you should not get into heaviness because of temptation. But you should stay happy. You should stay joyful. And this, my beloved, is where so many miss. You know what Jesus said? I'm gonna give you my joy. Your joy may be full, and nobody's gonna be able to take it away from you. If you want a spiritual thermometer to test how well you're doing spiritually, you want to test your joy every day. I mean, I'm telling you, a lot of people call themselves Christian and they look like they've been pickled in vinegar juice. I mean, they got long faces, sad expressions. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh. Now watch this, because this relates to temptation. My beloved, or my brethren rather. Now look at this. Count it all joy. Now it didn't say count it joy. It says count it all joy. When you fall into different kinds of temptations. That's how you want to be during temptations. Don't get sad down in the mouth, busted up and broken. Confidence in God and keep your joy. Watch this now. Count it all joy when you fall in temptations. Now, this word, temptation, I thought I'd give it the Hebrew word here. I can't pronounce it. But here's how it's defined by Strong's Concordance. Temptation is a putting to proof. Now, this is a great insight. What's going on when you're tempted is you are being put to proof. You are being put into an experiment of good and in a situation where you have a chance to experience the solicitation of evil. And what's going on in this picture? You're not just being tempted. You are being tested. You're being put to the test. And I want to say to you, I can't tell you how I'm excited about the 8th point we're going to get to, but It's hard for me not to tell it to you right now. What God is looking for is a people who will not only obey Him, but obey Him sufficiently to live in a conquering way of life all the time over everything. He doesn't want you under, He wants you over. He doesn't want you to tail, He wants you to be the head. He doesn't want you at the back end, He wants you at the front. And He doesn't want you down, He wants you up. And He's looking for a people who can conquer temptation. And the greater the temptation that you beat, the greater a conqueror you are. And so, what's really going on when you are tempted? Are you ready? Is you're to count it all joy. Why would you count it all joy? Let me give you a couple of reasons. Number one, according to the Scriptures, because you are being counted worthy of being tested. Whoa. And the greater temptations that come at me, I'm telling you, it stirs my soul and makes me realize that God is entrusting me with this temptation and giving me an opportunity to show that I'm going to be true to Him and by His power I can win. Hallelujah. It's a test. Let's look at the next verse. So count it all joy. Woo, I'm being tested. Whoopee. It's an experiment. Evil is soliciting me. And I am being put to the proof. I am being put to the proof of, is Jesus my Savior? I am being put to the proof, do I believe the Bible? I am being put to the proof, have I taken the Bible and put it in my heart and my mind? I am being put to the proof, am I walking in the Spirit? I am being put to the proof, to the core of my authenticity in my walk with God. It's that kind. That's what's going on. So count it all joy because you're getting tested. Now watch here. You count it all joy when you're in a temptation because you know what's following. Knowing this. Are you ready? Knowing this. That the trying of your faith. Look at this. That's what's going on in a temptation. Your faith is being tried. You are being tested. The trying of your faith is going to produce patience. So that temptation that lasts 40 days? Now, if you don't have patience, day 3, day 4, you might start, but when you understand what's really going on in temptation, that you're being tested, and you're worthy of being tested, and you look at this thing joyfully, and you let patience have her perfect work. Now, watch this. I don't want you to miss this next phrase in the Scripture. Patience, that is the endurance of temptation, which you're able to do by your faith. Now watch this now. Here's the purpose. Look at this now. That ye may be perfect. This is part of the perfecting process. Now, not only perfect, but you might be entire. That means complete. In fact, I think the last phrase really describes it. Look at this. Wanting nothing, lacking nothing. You can live your Christian life in spite of everything any devil, any demon, or other person throws at you. And we do it joyfully, knowing we're being tested. Don't lose your joy. Now, I want you... All right. Let me look at the clock. Oh, my goodness. Ask for faith. Ask for wisdom. Now, the book of James has an awful lot to do about how to cope with temptation. And this verse just preceded by, a few moments ago, talking about temptation. In fact, let me go back here. So here we are in the subject of temptation, just being joyful. Now, if you're having trouble being joyful, look at the next verse. Because if any of you lack wisdom, now, this wisdom is talking about is wisdom in the middle of temptation. If you're in the middle of temptation, count it all joy when you fall into temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be in perfect attire, wanting nothing. Next verse, watch this now. And if any of you lack wisdom during this process, now this is what you want to do in the middle of temptation. If in the middle of temptation you lack wisdom, here's what to do. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In the middle of temptation, ask for wisdom. Ask for instruction from God. Now, here's some really good news. God, let him ask wisdom of God that gives to all men liberally. Now that means you. He doesn't just give it to preachers. I wish he gave more to us preachers. You probably do. He doesn't just give it to some select people. Anybody who asks God will receive it if he asks in faith. That's the key we're going to come to in faith. Let him ask, because he gives you wisdom. Now, I want you to see this word liberally. That means abundantly, a whole bunch. And he upbraideth not. That means he's not stingy about his wisdom. And look at this. And if you ask wisdom, it shall be given him. And don't be surprised if in the middle of that temptation and you ask wisdom from God, he brings up the principles you learned last Wednesday night of what to do. There's no temptation taken as common to you, but such as common to man. God is faithful, will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able to cope with, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And we learned last week, the ways of escape. And he'll bring those. If you ask the wisdom, he's going to bring those to you. It shall be given you. But let him ask in faith. In temptation, this is not a time for waffling. Ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Don't let that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. To go to God, ask for wisdom, and believe you get it, and you get it. Make sure you ask for wisdom. You might wonder about this question. How does God, he's never been here, has he? How does God know how to help us? How can he help? How does he know how to help? I want you to just catch a couple of verses. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Look at this. But was, is referring to Jesus, in all points tempted like as we are. That's how he can give you advice. Because he's been here, done that, faced temptation. Now, I want to show you something. Watch here now. He was tempted, watch now, in all the points like we are. You cannot name a temptation that Jesus did not face. Imagine. And this is part of the great mystery, which I'm so delighted. Imagine God coming here and becoming one of us. That's just stunning and astounding. But while he was here, he humbled himself and became a man. Laid aside all of his celestial ability. Became like one of us. And he was tempted in everything you are tempted. He was tempted to eat too much. He was tempted to drink too much. He was tempted with women. He was tempted with, you name it. Stealing, he was tempted in all points just like you. But, look at the last part. In sin. He conquered it all the time, every time. So how does God, Jesus knows how to help us because he's been here and faced the same things you face. One more scripture. He himself has suffered being tempted. Now this for in means the same thing as because. Because he himself suffered the temptation, same ones you, he is able to help them that are tempted. This word succor means to help out. He is able to help out those who are tempted. So here's this great delight. When you ask wisdom from God, he knows exactly what to do because he's been here and done it. Number 7. Need to learn to quote in the temptation, during the temptation, appropriate scriptures. Now, it is not enough to quote scriptures. This is a key word. I'm going to prove it to you in a moment. They must be appropriate scriptures. It is not enough to quote scripture when you're being tempted. Now, watch here. Because here is the devil using scripture to create a temptation. Got it? Look at this. And Satan said unto him, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. Now watch this. Now he starts to quote the Bible. For it is written, and there should be quotes here, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they'll bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Everybody know what chapter that is? Psalm number 91. Satan is creating a temptation with the use of a scripture. Let me restate it more accurately. Satan is creating a temptation by the misuse of a scripture. It is not enough just to quote scriptures. Now, in moments of temptation, Satan comes with a couple of lies. Let me tell you what a couple of them are. Are you ready? Number one, he's going to say to you, well, give in now and try harder later. Give in now, try harder the next time. Huh. You know what the second big lie of Satan is during temptation? Are you ready? You can always get forgiveness. And Satan would like to use the forgiveness verses of the Bible to let you know that you can go ahead and do the sin because you'll get forgiveness. That's why you don't want to quote things like John 1, where it says, in the middle of temptation, you don't want to quote. He is a propitiation for our sin. And not for our sins only, but for sins of the whole world. Oh, no, here's how it goes. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sin, not for our sin only, but for the sins of the whole world. If we sin, you understand how that scripture will weaken you in the moment of temptation, cause you to give in, counting on forgiveness as an excuse to go ahead and sin. The misuse of scripture has got to be accountable for some of the worst events in all of history. The misuse of scripture caused men to kill one another. The misuse of scripture has caused wars around the world. So it is not enough during a temptation to quote any old scripture. You want to use scriptures that are probably applicable. For example, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? I can do all things, all through Christ which strengthens me. That'd be a good one. How about, he's made us more than conquerors? You want to quote appropriate scriptures. Now, a little digression here. Oh. And Jesus, of course, now watch this. I'll go back for just a moment. This is Satan quoting this Psalm 91 here, right? And then Jesus comes along and said, it's written. Now this again is not referring, it's referring to temptation before, but Jesus said to him, thou shalt not, it's written. Scripture says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So he was using the scripture appropriately. Satan was using it inappropriately. And that's a mighty important point during temptation. Now, it's kind of interesting that the temptation of Jesus, and we haven't got time to go into a whole lot of detail, but let me at least give you a brief outline of the three temptations at the end of the 40 days. These are not during the 40 days. These are the end of the 40 days. And it's interesting because they are very easy to categorize. The first one is a temptation to fulfill appetites. The temptation to fulfill. The tempter came to him and said, you know, command these stones be made into bread. Fulfill your appetite. You're hungry, aren't you, Jesus? And you watch, because many of the temptations that you face will be a temptation to fulfill an appetite. Legitimate or otherwise. Sexual appetite. Food appetite. An appetite for things. Tempted to buy because... Yeah, appetite. The second classification is the temptation to destroy yourself. The devil takes Jesus up into the holy city, and what's it? He and they sit on the pinnacle of the temple, way up in the air. And Satan says unto him, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. The temptation to destroy yourself. Get near a precipice. There's a good likelihood that Satan will be there trying to get you to jump. Look at Jesus. But most of the temptations to destroy us are not as ultimate as this. They are sort of like suicide on an installment plan. Just go ahead and smoke 2 packs a day for 10 years. Just go ahead and drink up. Shoot up. There is a suicidal aspect to many temptations that come from Satan. And a lot of us hurt ourselves. We don't understand what's going on, but we've been tempted by the devil to destroy ourselves. It's the second category. The third category is to worship what should not be worshipped. Satan said, after showing Jesus all the hills and valleys and lands, I'll give all these to you if you'll worship me. The temptation, this category, is to worship false gods. Worship idols, persons, places, things, activities. Whatever usurps the rightful place of God becomes an idol. Satan wants to introduce you to false worship. He's using this tactic pretty well within the Christian church in America. It's the third category, to worship what should not be worshipped. And of course, you remember what Jesus responded to this, don't you? And it is written, "Thou shalt worship only the Lord thy God." We reserve it. And then lastly, during temptation, you want to enjoy the blessing of being a conqueror, of hanging through it, tough, getting through the 40 days, because there's another 40 days coming sometime. Now, notice this, blessed. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. There is a great blessing in making it through temptation. Now watch this. For when he is tried, isn't that interesting? Remember we said temptation wasn't just a temptation, it was a test, it was a trial. And you're coming out the other side a victor. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, and for when he is tried, now look at that, he shall receive the crown of life. Now, I'm not sure. I started to look up what some other people said, and I thought, why am I asking what other people said? Their opinion is any better than mine. what could this mean? And I looked at it, the crown of life. And I'm absolutely persuaded. You see, I believe that God wants you to be a king. That you are a royalty. That's why that text appears on the front wall when you walk into this church. Unto him who loved us. Why? Gave his blood, but why? That he might redeem, that he might make us kings. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He wants you to be king. He wants you, listen to the scripture, I want you to rule in life by one Christ Jesus. And the person who rules in life by one Christ Jesus is the person who conquers temptation. And he gets the crown of life. This is the ultimate goal of God for us, is to conquer temptation in this life. It's a test. These are a few thoughts of what you should do during temptation. The next time we get together, when I'm going on a short vacation, but 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to do what to do after temptation. Because what you do after temptation is very critically important. And it's important for two reasons. Here we are. We're going to do what to do after the temptation. And it's very important because there are some important things that you have to do after your temptation if you conquered. And there's some very important things you can do after temptation if you failed. So we're going to go on two tracks next time we get together. What do you do after temptation if you failed? And what do you do after temptation if you conquered? In the meantime, beloved, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of temptation. Hallelujah. Because you're being tested. You're worthy of being tried. and you're going to come out of this thing like gold, purified in the fire. Thank you, Lord, for each person here tonight now. And I ask blessing on them in the name of Jesus. Not just with this word, but the presence of your Spirit as we go our several ways. Keep them from harm and danger. Keep them under the protection of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let them go forth from here conquerors, knowing that you are greater inside them than every foe that they will ever face. I pray this upon this people in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.